I don't know whether to be flattered or insulted when you call Mike Schilt the country Ben Higgins. But you're not wrong either. I really don't think you're wrong.
It's a compliment, cuz.
It's a compliment, cuz. I actually think that he's even more positive than you would be, you know, right now. And again, it could just be the front-facing Mike Schilt to the media and the press and everything else. Definitely not meant to be an insult, because I don't think that Mike Schilt is doing a terrible job. I don't. I think that, you know, we've had this conversation a billion times. I mean, you know how I feel. It's on the players to win ball games and to execute. And when your number is called, you need to do your job. And if you don't, that's on you and you alone, period. And if you tell your manager, hey, I can go tonight. If you need me, I can go. And you don't get the job done, that's not on your manager. It's on you. So I don't think he's doing a bad job. I didn't think Bob Melvin did a bad job. I didn't necessarily think Jace Tingler did a bad job. I just think that without the so-called skins on the wall in a veteran clubhouse, that's a tough gig for any rookie manager to have to stomach. So when we talk about the last two managers in Bob Melvin and Mike Schilt, I don't think they did a bad job. I think the players didn't execute. And so, I will always feel that way.
So we're referring to last Sunday when the Padres were playing the Mets. Manny Machado was called out on strikes on a ball that was below the zone and got frustrated.
He got frustrated on an actual strike. And Manny was frustrated because Manny was awful in that series.
You know, I've seen that pitch on different broadcasts. Actually, one had it on as a strike, one had it as a ball. It was a borderline pitch.
Not the out pitch. The out pitch was down.
That one was down.
The pitch before that he got really upset about.
Took a timeout.
Credit to the pitcher for throwing it in pretty much the exact same spot. That's exactly what you want to do.
The out pitch was a ball.
The out pitch was a ball, and Manny, lost it and slammed his bat, and then he got ejected. Now, again, I don't even know that Manny was necessarily frustrated as much at the umpire as he was at himself. And he talked after the game. We haven't hit that yet. Talking about how he sucks right now, basically, is what he said. I'm terrible. I can't get in the slot. I'm hurt. Everything sucks. I'm gonna get there, but it sucks right now.
It's stunning to see Jackson Merrill have two more home runs than Manny Machado.
It is.
In about the same number of games played.
It
stunning.
Is. It's stunning.
But, Mike Schilt then went out and did the first thing you have to do as a manager. You go out, you protect your player, you make sure he doesn't do anything that gets him suspended. He's hot. Get your bench coach, come on, pull him away, get him out of here. And then you go to town on the umpire. But he didn't exactly go to town on the umpire. And John Boy, who we've had on and has this skill, it's not a scientific skill,
right.
But I think
he's pretty good at it.
There's some skill to it. He also has the premium MLB package or whatever that has so many more angles than you see when you're watching it live.
It's also, there's some parts in it I thought were left up to interpretation, but make no bones about it. None.
It's not an exact science, but I got the sense that what he was saying was pretty much how the conversation went between Mike Schilt and the home plate umpire after Manny Machado got ejected. So
eye to eye, I'm going to take my sunglasses off Horatio style, look him in the eye and say, hey man, I got to get
right
here.
Is that what you want?
I understand, and I respect that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I respect that. You know I gotta go. All right, do what you do. I have to go. That's fine. But you guys are doing...
I think he was trying to get run right there, because they always say, hey, as soon as you drop, the F-bomb on an umpire, that's probably
but he didn't
about
get thrown
when
out
you're
yet.
Gonna go.
Which...
All right, do what you do. I have to go. That's fine. But you guys are doing a good job. You blew that pitch, but I don't want to play your game. It ain't your fault, and it's really hard. But I am frustrated, so send my ass off. So I'm ready whenever. Okay, you ready? Yep. Gone. Oh.
The oh is what killed me.
Gone. Oh.
Yeah, I've seen it before.
I hated every second of it.
I didn't like it necessarily either. I also don't know that it's a huge, massive deal. Is it an indictment against Schilt? I don't know. People feel that way. We just had a quote that said, that's how I imagine you lose a clubhouse with a fake-ass ejection. I don't necessarily. I think if there's one person on the team the one that would understand why he did that. Even if he, if Manny Machado went and watched the John Boy video, and I bet he would laugh and be like, I get it. I totally get it. He's been around long enough to know that. You know, we want our manager to be demonstrative. We want our manager to have our players' backs. I think you have to do that. That's in the rule book. Like, if your player's getting into an up, you got to run
then
out and
do
get
the song and dance.
Do the song and dance.
Get ejected, for real.
Which is the there, definition, though, of eyewash.
Fine.
Right. And I agree with you.
Because like, if I'm Manny Machado, I think I would have been pissed.
I don't care if I...
Even
Manny,
though I know
Manny
that he's
got to
go out there and do that, he's got to go out and get tossed and have my back and all that, I'm like, wait. You just complimented the umpire that rang me on a ball and then tossed me. You're telling me he did a good job?
You catch more flies with honey, Paulie.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is there a strategic...
Maybe.
Is there a strategic element to what Mike Shildt is doing, making sure the umpires, who they're all going to work his games all year long, and making sure they know, I respect what you do. I respect your profession. I respect who you are. I know you're going to make mistakes. I'm not a completely unreasonable guy here who's going to go and at every single tiny call going to start kicking dirt and going crazy. But I am here to get tossed in this situation. But, you know, I do respect you. Next time, hopefully you'll make a better call that goes our team's favor. Jake, essentially is what he's trying to do there, isn't he?
Yeah, so Jake says, what a total fake it makes him look like. Man, I don't get the sense that he's fake. I get the sense, again, we've said this a billion times, that's who he is. That's who he is. That's kind of how I feel, is like that's who he is.
He said in many post-game news conferences very glowing things about the umpires. Yes. Really, really tough job. I totally understand it. You know, I didn't like that call, but have a massive amount of respect for the umpires and what they do.
And like people are saying, like, it kind of makes him look more real. I agree. Now, it may not be how you would handle it, Paulie, or I would handle it.
Definitely would be how I would handle it.
It would definitely be how Country Ben would handle it. It's not, I didn't look at it and go, oh boy, oh man, he's going to be pissed. I promise you, they went in there and laughed their ass about it. Now, I have seen before, I have seen a manager, but I can't remember who it was. I've seen the Terry Collins video where he's screaming at the umpires. I've seen that one, but I swear to God, I have seen another one where a guy goes out but he does it loud. I got to get run right now. You know I can't be out here.
Right.
You got to throw me. And you want me to throw you? Yes, go. Like, I've seen that before. Does that make it better? Even though it's a bull-ass ejection. I think it does. I think it's a better look.
I would have preferred that.
So somebody made the really good point.
Because I remember watching it live when that happened.
Yeah.
And I go, Shildt didn't look that upset.
He wasn't. And again, he also knows his star player is dying right now. And the whole fan base is turned on him. And the whole city is turned on
him. And Manny knows he's not dying because the umpires have been
giving
calls all season long against him. He knows that.
That's exactly right.
When you're struggling and then you get wrong on a bad call, sometimes it's just the snapping
point. There's no question.
My question is, would you rather have Mike Shildt with the somewhat disingenuous... managerial ejection.
Yeah. Did you say disingenuous?
Disingenuous? Or Andy Green with just the really sad, poor performance of getting ejected?
I don't know that either of them are particularly great, to be honest with you. I really don't. But I know I've seen managers asked to be ejected before. We'll ask.
Call wrong, Joe.
I'll ask Mike Shildt about that yesterday. That, you know, hey, you got John Boyd. Somebody made the really astute...
Or tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I mean. Somebody made the really astute point. Hey, you can do that. Better not get caught doing it. Or it's a little bit of egg on your face. And that's kind of how I felt.
And do you feel like when you're out there and no one else can hear you, that lip reading is fair game, that you can get caught doing that when no one else is out there hearing this conversation?
Yeah.
You feel like it's a private conversation, but ultimately it was not.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely not a private conversation. It's out there. It's the worst chatter I've ever heard in the game of baseball. Ever. That is singularly the worst chatter I ever heard in the game. It sounds like something my 6-year-old would say. Don't worry,
Mailman Rob to give Andy Green some insult lessons.
Don't worry, Dad. I'm leaving. You can go call another call wrong. You can go be mean again.
Our buddy Ted Mendenhall just texted me because there's video of Earl Weaver saying that he needs to get tossed.
I gotta
and
go.
The umpire won't do
he
it.
He won't do
won't
it.
Won't do it.
And that makes you
forgot
furious.
So much worse.
Yeah, I need you to throw me right now. And that is part of the game of the eyewash of baseball, which would be a fascinating book. Eyewash of Baseball would really be a fascinating book because it exists 1,000%.
I would buy that book.
I would, too. I would, too.
We need a contestant for Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday. Give us a call right now, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Call right now. Chance to win a trip to the Fontainebleau Las Vegas, plus your choice of concert tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or Smashing Pumpkins, and a $150 poolside dining credit. Summer room packages and tickets are available now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. Let's get to it. Let's play our game.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
You can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Just told you what you can win, qualifying for the grand prize. It does require getting at least 4 out of 7 correct, though. Feel free to ask Woods for a little bit of help if he would like to help you out. And he should be an expert at today's category. All right, I see some calls coming in. Let's go to John. You are in today as our Real or Fake contestant. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, buddy.
All right, let's go. Let's see if we can qualify you for the trip to Las Vegas. So Goat Hill Park was an amazing location for our third annual-ish Chrome Tour Ben and Woods Open yesterday. And if you were there and paying attention, you may have noticed that each hole at the Goat has a name. Today on Real or Fake, I will give you a name. You tell me if it matches up with one of the holes at the Goat or if it is a fake. And Woods was there. Now, you weren't playing, so maybe you missed it. But
I played there 100 times. I don't know. Oh, no.
Are you ready to go, John?
No, I'm not going to be good, buddy. I'll just guess along with you.
Round one.
Oh, great. I've never played there.
That's all right. All right. Well, it's a bit of a guessing
50-50.
Game.
50-50.
Round one. Hawk's Realm. Hawk's Realm. Real or fake, John?
I'll go with fake.
That one is real. That's that was the heckle hole, number 10. In fact, I saw a majestic hawk flying down into the tree right by the 10th tee yesterday. It was very, very cool.
I was with you. Yeah, that was cool.
All right, let's go to round number two. Goodnight Kiss. Goodnight Kiss. Real or fake, John?
Woods, do you have any idea?
God dang it, dude. It doesn't sound like a golf hole, man. Goodnight's Kiss.
Goodnight Kiss.
Goodnight Kiss. I'm going to say fake.
He says fake. John, what do you say?
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. That sounds fake.
That is fake. Very good. All right, we're on the board. Let's go to round number three. Ralph's.
Ralph's?
Ralph's.
Like the surf spot?
Yeah, or the Ralph's. Grocery store.
Ralph's Hole.
Ralph's. I don't know, Woodsy. What do you think? That sounds fake to me, but
it sounds fake, so I think it's real.
Ooh, John, what do you say?
I'll go with Woodsy.
Goes with Woodsy with real, and the answer is
real.
Real, yes. So the sixth hole is called Ralph's because it borders right on the back of a supermarket, which used to be Ralph's, but is now Fraser Farms. So they really should change it to Fraser Farms. But the hole is called Ralph's. All right, so here we go. Round number four. You got two right, two more to go. The Plank. The Plank.
Ooh, like walk the plank.
Real or fake?
I feel like I'm walking the plank. let's go real.
He goes real. Pauly? It is. That's the one handicap hole, the 16th hole, where it gets really narrow, like you're walking the plank before you get to the green. All you need is one more. And you are our winner today. Let's go with round number five. Oz. Oz. Real or fake?
What do you think, Woodsy?
Oz. God, this is a total guess, man. I'm going to say real.
He's going to say real. John, what do you say?
I'm going to go fake.
He's going to go right. Fake.
I like
That's
it.
All right. All right. And you would be?
Oh, damn it.
You got that one. Oz was correct. So, all right, we still need one more. We got two more chances.
All right, we're good.
Round number
good.
Six. The Devil's Elbow. The Devil's Elbow.
Come on. No.
Golf courses always do this.
Like a dog leg.
I mean, I can see it happening. I can see a golf course doing something like naming their hole the Devil's Elbow, buddy. Oh, crap. Would Ashworth do it? I don't, that's the thing.
Let's go real.
All right,
goes
real.
Actually, there is a course, I think somewhere in the Midwest, that has a hole called the Devil's Elbow. Not this one, though.
Mine would be the Devil's Taint.
It comes down to round number 7 for all the marbles. John, real or fake? Sure. Combat Corner.
Combat Corner.
Combat that's Corner. Gotta be fake. Real or fake?
It's got to be fake. Combat Corner.
God, Wizzy, that sounds so fake.
It does. It does sound fake to me, man.
All right. Come on. Hey, we're going to either make it or go down in flames.
Let's go.
We'll go fake.
Fake.
Oh, no. Oh. For all the marbles, Polly, is it real or fake?
Yes!
It is fake!
Yes, yes.
John,
we
you
did
have
it.
Pulled it out on we round 7. Congratulations. We will put you into the drawing for Las Vegas. Hold on the line. Polly will get your information during our break. And thank you for playing a little real or fake. Man. All right, Don't Do This is coming up.
When was
next.
The last time a real or fake didn't go to round
they all,
7?
They all, I mean, like, it feels
every
like 90%
single
of
one.
Them
it's crazy.
Go to round 7. I'm going to take that as a sign that I'm doing my job well, keeping them keeping you guessing all the time. All right, Don't Do This is coming up next, and then Adam Jones is going to be with us. We'll talk a little Willie Mays with a guy. I know he was talking about Willie Mays on his podcast this week. Catch up after we missed him yesterday. So that's all coming up with Bennett Woods after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy, you know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com, take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thekrafttaco.com. Why didn't we get the Kraft Taco to come out to our golf tournament? Next time.
Great question.
Next time, for sure.
Write
that
it down.
Be fantastic. Put it in the notes file.
Yes, for sure.
As we get going on Don't Do This today.
Real quick, just a very quick breaking news.
Breaking news?
Baseball news. Jeff Passan says the New York Yankees are in agreement on a one-year deal with 34-year-old Tim Hill.
Tim
he has landed
Hill.
After
Tim
he Hill got released. In the pinstripes.
Wow. After he got released earlier, he is now a New York Yankee.
So does he have to, like, got to shave his facial? He's done it before. It didn't. Remember when he cut his hair?
Yeah.
And everyone
look,
was
yeah.
like, ah! Yeah. Oh, that's going to.
Ouch.
That is shocking.
That's an odd fit.
I wouldn't normally interrupt, but I'm like, whoa.
It's an odd fit.
That's weird.
I love Timmy Hill. I wish him the greatest success. That seems like a weird fit. Man, it's been quite an off season for the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. And listen, Isaiah Buggs has had an offensive offseason as well. Benny, he's a defensive tackle. He was the one that was arrested, accused back in May of animal cruelty. Two dogs left on the back porch. The house was rented by him. They had not had food or water in over a week, so that was pretty gnarly. And then recently, he allegedly dragged a woman, who is the mother of his child, down the stairs of her apartment, got arrested on Sunday, broke into the apartment with a tire iron and dragged her down the stairs, causing scratch marks on her wrist, left the apartment, then was arrested. I mean, it's been arrest after arrest, controversy after controversy for the Chiefs. In the off season, and you know, see how they won the last two, yeah.
I mean, usually the thinking is that when you have lots of off the field distractions and controversies, that there's no way you can have success on the field. But we kind of think that, but it's not necessarily holding true. The Chiefs have had tons of things during their Super Bowl runs. They had Andy Reid's son.
Yeah,
they've
great.
Had. Plenty of issues. They got a whole stadium thing going on right now where like Kansas is trying to steal the Chiefs and the Royals away from Missouri, the other side of the border. It's just constant. The drama is constant there, but they keep winning.
The Patriots had Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, bro. Those juggernauts just keep rolling. The Dallas Cowboys back then.
Yeah.
I mean, those dudes were wild as hell.
It's almost like it matters more if you have talent and skill rather than good behavior off the field.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know what the NFL is going to do as far as sanctions and things like that to the Chiefs, but it does. You do get the sense that potentially they'll just keep on rolling. When you got Patrick Mahomes under center, that's a good place to start.
All right, speaking of the New England Patriots, and I get that not everyone's going to agree with me on the don't do this here, but have you seen that Bill Belichick has been going around and traveling with his new girlfriend, Jordan Hudson?
Yeah, he has a new lady friend in his life.
And his new lady friend is almost 50 years younger than he is.
The heart
and
wants
I,
what
I
the
get
heart
the,
wants,
Well, I do get that, but at some point I just feel like it's a little creepy, isn't it?
I mean, it's 48 years.
They met on an airplane in 2021 when she was doing her homework. And he was like helping her with her homework on the plane.
What are you working on there?
Social studies?
Algebra?
It was a paper on logic, and they bonded over it. They exchanged information, got a little selfie. But he was dating his longtime girlfriend at the time. But they stayed in touch, and after he broke up with Linda Holiday, apparently the two have become romantically involved. They traveled to Croatia together.
Okay.
And Bill Belichick is... I mean, do you feel like would you trust that she's with you for the right reasons? Paulie made a great point. Like, okay, when she's home, like for the summer for college, and she brings her boyfriend over to meet the parents, dinner.
Can you call him a boyfriend if he's 70 years old?
That's what he is.
This is my man.
He's my boyfriend,
elderly.
Bill Belichick, dad, mom,
Kevin,
Bill.
Kevin in the chat says, has he introduced her to his 40-year-old daughter? He has a 40-year-old daughter.
I mean, it's at the very least, it's awkward.
Yeah, if you're...
It's awkward.
Who's it weirder for, him or her?
Me.
Yeah, right.
I think it's the rest of us. If they... Like you said, the heart wants what the heart wants, and if they're both really happy, so I guess I should be happy for them. I just feel like it's...
People say in the...
It
people
feels
are saying,
a little wrong to me.
People say are saying in the chat, sugar daddy. Okay. She's 24. She's very attractive.
Mm-hmm. Like, Bill's not exactly the sharpest looking guy out there.
Yeah, he doesn't. Is she a huge Patriots fan or something?
I'm sure he's very interesting.
Is he?
I don't think he is.
No, I think behind closed doors, he's an interesting fellow. He's got to be smart. And
Dan says skank. I wouldn't go that far, Dan. I wouldn't call her a skank. I mean,
didn't say that.
I think it's creepy on Bill's part.
What about
his granddaughter?
Correct.
But
that,
that
her,
age
that
difference
could be your
is absolutely grandfather granddaughter territory.
Look, I just always think of Big Daddy every time this happens. Okay? Every time this happens, I think
of loose skin.
Loose skin and old balls. Gross.
He's got a 5-year plan. What is it?
Don't die. Pipe down, old man River. I'll break your hip. Give this. Now, again, my wife's 14 years younger, but this is 48.
I mean, you at least should have some commonalities with your wife.
Yeah, we both go to bed at 7.
Right.
Correct. She was a 60-year-old, 24-year-old when I met her.
It'd be like you in 24 years dating somebody born today.
And maybe she's just a 70-year-old, 24-year-old right now.
Could be. My thing is, like, does he have money? Yeah, he's got money. A lot of people have money that aren't 70 years old. A lot. I don't get the sense, though, this is like the Anna Nicole Smith. That guy was like in a wheelchair. He was knocking on death's door. I don't get that sense. He's still an active, he can walk.
No, that
and
really
like,
was creepy.
That one to me, I was like, ugh. What was his name? I can't remember.
I don't know.
All right. I got a good doo-doo this today.
DD mega doo-doo.
A really cool Willie Mays story who passed away. A couple days ago at 93, was that right? 93
Correct,
years 93. Old. And Daniel Brown.
Think he was dating a 46-year-old.
I don't think so. But he, Daniel Brown from The Athletic tweeted this out. It's pretty cool. A lighthearted Willie Mays story. I was among the beat writers who came across him outside the Giants clubhouse before a 2002 World Series game in Anaheim. Now, Willie, it seemed he did not have a photo on his badge. So the security guard wouldn't let him in.
Oh, my God.
Nobody thought this was funnier than Mays, who just chuckled and told stories while waiting for a photo badge to be delivered. John Miller was there, too. He had a World Series program, so he suggested a few options. There was a pic of Willie Mays making the catch in the 54 World Series. John Miller says to the security guard, "Can he use this photo?" Then there was a pic of Willie Mays with Mickey Mantle. "What about this one?" Mays was stuck there for so long that he did kind of an impromptu press conference. He was fielding mostly fun questions about his World Series memories, what it was like to see his godson finally make, Barry Bonds, to make the Fall Classic. One reporter was oddly aggressive. Mays finally said, "Where are you from?" He said, "New York." And Mays said, "Oh, that explains it." Everyone laughed. The photo snafu took so long, he passed the time by doing a one-on-one TV hit with Univision, and they battled hilariously through some language barrier confusion. Ultimately, Mays' charm needed no translation.
Did that security guy lose his job, or would he get praised for following the rules to a T?
I mean, this guy, he said, "No, Mays did not have a photo badge, but everything else was picture perfect." You would think if you're the security guard and people start coming up to the guy that you won't let in and wanting to do one-on-one interviews, and he's telling stories, I may...
And they're all telling you, "This guy is Willie Mays.
He's Willie Mays.
Really, he belongs in here. Trust us. We all belong in here. We're not all trying to pull one off on you."
It's like this old guy, and he's standing there. Like, you think, all right, I may have to let this one slide. But hey, listen, at the end of the day, kudos to the security guard for doing his job. But he probably felt like a buffoon when it was all said and done. But I like, my favorite part of that? Willie didn't get upset. Willie didn't get upset at all. He understands that guy had a job to do, and he laughed it off and was lighthearted about it. Didn't take himself too seriously. Looking forward to hearing some Willie Mays stories from Adam Jones next.
That is Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Curious if Adam thinks what most people do. Was Willie Mays the greatest ball player of all time?
Yeah.
We will talk to the former big leaguer, five-time All-Star, great outfielder. I'm sure they had some commonalities as well. When we come back next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Going to be playing a Major League Baseball game tonight at Rickwood Field in Alabama. And our next guest, I know, I don't know if he's still there. He definitely was there this week. Obviously, it's where Willie Mays was from. And it just happens to be now the week that the legendary ball player passed. And join us right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, let's go out and check in with Adam Jones, who I mentioned was at the Rickwood Field in Alabama this week. Adam, good morning. How have you been, and are you still out there in Alabama?
Good morning, you guys. Yeah, I'm still here. My first time down here, really, in the South, and everything's been great. The softball game last night was tremendous. The crowd, the people here, obviously it sucks that Mr. Mays passed. But I think we were going to honor him, but let's celebrate him. And that's what we're doing here. We're having a good time. Mr. Mays would have loved all of these things that are going on in his name. And we're going to just preserve the legacy. Mr. Mays was one of the greatest baseball players of all time, if not the greatest. And to be here, it's a surreal feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some stories that Ken Griffey Jr. told, you know, obviously wore number 24 for Willie Mays, and said his heart hit the floor, you know, and you know, it's, you know, yeah, you know, it's coming for all of us. It's not going to, none of us are going to avoid it when it happens. Right. But the legacy that Willie Mays left behind. Now, obviously, he stopped playing, I think, 2 years before we were born, Benny. But you saw, obviously, the catch. You saw, you look at the numbers, you go, these are staggering. This is him and Hank Aarons are the ones. Every time I go back and revisit their numbers, I go, how does this happen? 24-time All-Star for Willie Mays. I mean, it's just incredible. What was your experience like with him?
Well, I got to meet him a few times, and you know what? Someone said this that made sense to me, and why he's considered the greatest player. Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Cobb—they just played against each other. In the Negro Leagues back then with Oscar Charleston and Josh Gibson, they played against each other. But Willie Mays played in an integrated era with DiMaggio and Duke Snyder. Yep. And like that was arguably one of the greatest eras of baseball. And he dominated. He was the best of them all. And, you know, obviously he hasn't played my whole life. But his impact is still there. I mean, yesterday we were doing things like during the softball game, we had to catch every fly ball like Willie Mays would. I'm at first base because I ain't running. And I'm catching basket catches at first base on a pop-up. Like, you know, his legacy will his legacy is going to forever be cemented in baseball because of the flair, the smile, the just the graciousness in which he played the game.
2 seasons he served in the Army. Finished with 660 home runs and lost 2 full seasons. 5'10", 170, and just dominated everybody out there. That's staggering to think about, man. And there's so many stories going around. Do you have a personal story of when you got to meet him?
Well, I got to meet him when we went to San Francisco years ago, and he just told me, "Hey, young man, I like the way you play center field. I like how you play shallow. It's not your fault if the ball's hit over your head." So I was, it ain't my fault. So I'm
blame
like,
the pitcher.
I do, because people been telling me to start backing up, and he's like, no, stay where you at. It ain't your fault. So he was he insured me to play shallow.
What does that even feel like as a center fielder in baseball to have Willie Mays say, "I like the way you play center field"?
No, I mean, you're talking about the greatest center fielder of all time telling you that, and I'm just like, hey, I'm just trying to be something comparable to you. I mean, he's the gold standard. Him, Griffey, they're the gold standards, and you know, you just want to live up to the expectation.
Adam, how important is this Rickwood Field game tonight between the Cardinals and the Giants? You know, baseball is played in a cornfield. They played in London. They played at the Little League World Series. But this game in particular, especially for the black baseball community, how big is this?
It's huge. I mean, recognizing Negro Leagues. I mean, like I said, the Negro Leagues and black history are American history. Why we, you know, I understand the segregation. I understand all that. But now, I mean, there's no need for all that stuff, that segregation. So we're bringing all the stats and all the numbers and all the experience over because, you know, you can't tell me that I can entertain you, but I can't eat with you. And now, you know, with the sacrifices from all those guys in the Negro Leagues, Mr. Mays included, you know, I'm able to live a cool life because of those guys.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. I want to shift gears a little bit to the. The series I know you were following pretty well, pretty intently, and that was the Yankees Orioles series, and it got a little heated, got a little nasty. You had some stars being hit. Kind of give us your overall thoughts on that. When you saw Judge get hit, did you immediately know, oh boy, they're going to have to throw it Gunner now? And Gunner, you know, to his credit, he wore his hit by pitch last night, stole second, ended up scoring a really, really important run for the Orioles. But that was a really good series between two really good teams.
I mean, great series. I mean, the Orioles are a fantastic team. The Yankees are a fantastic team. Just got Cole back. And again, that's baseball. Don't sugarcoat it. That's how baseball is. These guys are aggressive. You want to win. You got to knock guys down. You got to move guys' feet. And obviously, you never want to hit them. Excuse me. You never want to hit anybody. You never want to hurt anyone. But it's part of the game.
Adam Jones is with us. Adam, we were talking about it earlier. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but there was a social media video from John Boy going out involving Padres manager Mike Schilt. And he went out after Manny got ejected. And as they were reading his lips, he was basically kind of just saying to the umpire, okay, you're just going to have to throw me out as well. And it was pretty calm, and he was pretty respectful about it. We were talking earlier this morning. We don't think Manny would have a problem with that at all. But you know, Manny, you're a ball player. You know, if your manager went out there and went out to get ejected, but did it in more of a polite, perfunctory way as opposed to really losing his mind genuinely, would you have a problem with that?
Do what you do. I have to go. That's fine. But you guys are doing a good job. You blew that pitch, but I don't want to play your game.
What do you think?
Did you see this?
I did. I love it. I mean, you have to get tossed when your superstar gets tossed. That's just part of it. Shield is a great dude. He understands that.
But you have to actually go crazy, like for real. Like, yeah, I've got to lose my mind.
You got to slam your hat. You got to slam your hat, kick some dirt on his feet. I mean, do all those things. But, I mean, you got to go. You got to get tossed. And you know what, hell? You get tossed on Father's Day, go inside and have an early beer.
Yeah, and he did. And they said they had the chance to go in and chat it up. I said, if there's one player on the team that's not going to care how his manager gets ejected, it's probably Manny. And, you know, like I said, you know him pretty well, and he's scuffling this year, and he's frustrated. I mean, he said the other day, it's rare I show my emotions, but I'm pissed, and I suck right now, and I got to figure it out, man. He's going through a tough stretch.
Yeah, I'm watching. And, you know, this is the veteran and him understanding that it's a long season and that, you know, this week is not going to dictate next week. He knows that it's a long, long season, and, you know, his numbers are always going to be there. But again, it's frustrating for him because when you're one of the game's best and your numbers don't reflect it, it's a frustrating thing. And he knows that. So he also knows that, you know, a good week, one good swing can turn his season around. Yeah. You know, I always tell him, when he hits that ball to right center field on the line, I don't think there's anybody better in the game than him. And you just got to get back to it. And he's a vet. He knows it. There's no need for me to tell him. You know, I still reach out to him and give him here tidbits that I see. But, he's the one out there doing it. And he knows what it takes.
One thing I hated, though, that he said was, if I have to rip my elbow apart again, I'm going to get it figured out. I don't know that that's the right. I don't. It's not what I want to hear. You know, from Manny. He's probably my favorite player, AJ, and I definitely don't want to exacerbate the problem. Do you feel like you know him and you probably know his pain tolerance, everything else? And he said the other day, I'm at 70%, I'm better than most guys that play third base. And I tend to agree, but I will say, you know, are you of the opinion that he may need to go, you know, go rest and try to heal up and clear his mind?
I mean, I don't know if that would be best for him because that's just not his style. He's a player. But, you know, I don't know his pain threshold. I don't know how his elbow feels. I mean, anytime you have a surgery, you're still going to feel that effects lingering on for, you know, a certain amount of time post. And I know he's back playing, but, I mean, no matter what, you have surgery on your elbow and you got to throw a baseball, and he throws it hard from different angles. So the torque on it definitely can't feel good. Swinging and missing when you have an injury like that cannot feel good. But at the same time, no one feels good playing baseball right now. Everybody is battling something. Somebody's hurting. Everybody is battling something, and that's just part of the game. So if you need to sit because you got a hangnail, that's not the era in which myself, Manny, and many others play. So we got through it, unfortunately, and you know sometimes it doesn't look pretty, but you know when we're not playing and we know we can play, it's a weird feeling for us. So, you know, no matter what we're going through, we're going to post. The manager writes our name in the lineup. We're going to play. And, again, sometimes it doesn't look pretty, but, you know, guys want to play 150 games.
From Barcelona to Mumbai to Alabama, it's always fascinating to find out where in the world is Adam Jones. Adam, appreciate it as always. Thanks for making time for us on a Thursday. We'll talk to you again next week.
Always, and next week I'll be in a new place with probably with a mojito.
Oh, okay. Ooh, nice. I can't wait to find out where in the world is Adam Jones. There he is, the 5-time All-Star. And guess what? Manny, when he says, you know, my numbers will be there at the end of the year, they won't this year.
They're not going.
It's too late.
Yeah.
He could turn it around. He could have a good second half, but the numbers are never going to get to Manny-like numbers this year. He's too deep in the hole. He's gotten off to too slow of a start for too long. The season's almost half over.
Yeah.
The halfway point will come for the Padres in just like 5 or 6 games. In fact, at the roundtable today, we're going to do a bit of a midseason review because it's the closest roundtable to the 81-game mark of the year. So Manny doesn't have a chance to turn this year around. It's going to go down as one of the worst or maybe the worst season in Manny's career. But there's a big difference between that. If he has a good second half, it can just go down as maybe a slightly down year. If he has a bad second half, it'll go down as the worst year he's ever had in baseball. And that's an important differentiation for the San Diego Padres. They just want Manny to have what ends up being kind of a slightly down year and not a historically bad year for Manny Machado.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I don't think he's going to get to 30 pops this year. That would
be shocked.
That would require a monster a monster second half. But yeah, man, I'd gladly eat my words. We haven't really parsed out some of his comments, and you know, again, I think there's nothing he can say right now that's going to make people that.
I think his comments, I mean, we can go through them a little bit in the second half of the show.
Yeah.
I think his comments were what a lot of fans wanted to hear. To see some frustration, to see some actual, like...
I didn't see much of that. I saw more of...
I feel like fans get more frustrated that it looks like Manny isn't frustrated.
No, I agree. But I do... Like, I liked him. I like to see that because it's a rare glimpse inside when he talks like that. But I saw more... Look, nobody cares what you say. They want to see what you do. And especially in a results-based business like baseball, they just want to see you perform on the field. And then, if you're driving in runs and you're hitting home runs, no one cares if you blow a bubble. When you blow a bubble and you don't come through, then they get mad at you for blowing a bubble. No one cares what you do if you're producing. That's in any business almost, man. Like, as long as you're producing, they really don't care.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. So Pauly has some Throwback Thursday material that we can get to here coming up in the second half of the program. If you are interested, we'll also have Eno Saris in our weekly Smart Baseball segment coming up at 8:35 as we head toward our roundtable. We got our commercial-free roundtable at 10 o'clock this morning. A very long day for Ben and Woods.
You ran into a bigger boomer
yesterday
at the Ben and Woods Open than me.
Oh, my God.
Even I know how to work Venmo. This is unbelievable.
I did have one snafu on the Venmo
at
Ben's Glory Hole yesterday.
Incredible.
So share that as well. Coming up next, 2 hours down, 2+1 to go with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Going to be playing a Major League Baseball game tonight at Rickwood Field in Alabama. And our next guest, I know, I don't know if he's still there. He definitely was there this week. Obviously, it's where Willie Mays was from. And it just happens to be now the week that the legendary ball player passed to join us right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, let's go out and check in with Adam Jones, who I mentioned was at the Rickwood Field in Alabama this week. Adam, good morning. How have you been, and are you still out there in Alabama?
Good morning, you guys. Yeah, I'm still here. My first time down here, really, in the South, and everything's been great. The softball game last night was tremendous. The crowd, the people here, obviously it sucks that Mr. Mays passed. But I think we were going to honor him, but let's celebrate him. And that's what we're doing here. We're having a good time. Mr. Mays would have loved all of these things that are going on in his name. And we're going to just preserve the legacy. Mr. Mays was one of the greatest baseball players of all time, if not the greatest. And to be here, it's a surreal feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some stories that Ken Griffey Jr. told, you know, obviously wore number 24 for Willie Mays and said his heart hit the floor, you know, and you know, it's, you know, yeah. You know, it's coming for all of us. It's not gonna, none of us are gonna avoid it, when it happens,
right.
But the legacy that Willie Mays left behind. Now, obviously, he stopped playing, I think, 2 years before we were born, Benny. But you saw, obviously, the catch. You saw, you look at the numbers, you go, these are staggering. This is
yes.
Him and Hank Aarons are the ones. Every time I go back and revisit their numbers, I go, how does this happen? 24-time All-Star for Willie Mays. I mean, it's just incredible. What was your experience like with him?
Well, I got to meet him a few times, and you know what? Someone said this that made sense to me, and why he's considered the greatest player. Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Cobb—they just played against each other. In the Negro Leagues back then with Oscar Charleston and Josh Gibson, they played against each other. But Willie Mays played in an integrated era with DiMaggio and Duke Snider.
Yep.
And like that was arguably one of the greatest eras of baseball. And he dominated. He was the best of them all. And, you know, obviously he hasn't played my whole life. But his impact is still there. I mean, yesterday we were doing things like during the softball game, we had to catch every fly ball like Willie Mays would. I'm at first base because I ain't running. And I'm catching basket catches at first base on a pop-up. Like, you know, his legacy will his legacy is going to forever be cemented in baseball because of the flair, the smile, the just the graciousness in which he played the game.
2 seasons he served in the Army. Finished with 660 home runs and lost 2 full seasons. 5'10", 170. And just dominated everybody out there. That's staggering to think about, man. And there's so many stories going around. Do you have a personal story of when you got to meet him?
Well, I got to meet him when we went to San Francisco years ago. And he just told me, hey, young man, I like the way you play center field. I like how you play shallow. It's not your fault if the ball's hit over your head. So I was, it ain't my fault. So I'm
blame
like,
the pitcher.
Because people been telling me to start backing up. And he's like, no, stay where you at. It ain't your fault. So he insured me to play shallow.
What does that even feel like as a center fielder in baseball to have Willie Mays say, I like the way you play center field?
No, I mean, you're talking about the greatest center fielder of all time telling you that. And I'm just like, hey, I'm just trying to be something comparable to you. I mean, he's the gold standard. Him, Griffey, they're the gold standards. And, he's just wanting to live up to the expectation.
Adam, how important is this Rickwood Field game tonight between the Cardinals and the Giants? Baseball is played in a cornfield. They've played in London. They've played at the Little League World Series. But this game in particular, and especially for the black baseball community, how big is this?
It's huge. I mean, recognizing Negro Leagues. I mean, I said this, the Negro Leagues and black history are American history. Why we, I understand the segregation. I understand all that. But now, I mean, there's no need for all that stuff, that segregation. So we're bringing all the stats and all the numbers and all the experience over because, you can't tell me that I can entertain you, but I can't eat with you. And now, with the sacrifices from all those guys in Negro Leagues, Mr. Mays included, we were able to, I'm able to live a cool life because of those guys.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. I want to shift gears a little bit to the series I know you were following pretty well, pretty intently, and that was the Yankees-Orioles series. And it got a little heated, got a little nasty. You had some stars being hit. Kind of give us your overall thoughts on that. When you saw Judge get hit, did you immediately know, oh boy, they're going to have to throw it Gunner now? And Gunner, to his credit, he wore his hit by pitch last night, stole second, ended up scoring a really, really important run for the Orioles. But that was a really good series between two really good teams.
I mean, great series. I mean, the Orioles are a fantastic team. The Yankees are a fantastic team. Just got Cole back. And again, that's how it's supposed to be. That's baseball. Don't sugarcoat it. That's how baseball is. These guys are aggressive. You want to win. You got to knock guys down. You got to move guys' feet. And obviously, you never want to hit them. Excuse me. You never want to hit anybody. You never want to hurt anyone. But it's part of the game.
Adam Jones is with us. Adam, we were talking about it earlier. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but there was a social media video from John Boy going out. Involving Padres manager Mike Schilt, and he went out after Manny got ejected, and as they were reading his lips, he was basically kind of just saying to the umpire, okay, you're just going to have to throw me out as well, and it was pretty calm, and he was pretty respectful about it. We were talking earlier this morning. We don't think Manny would have a problem with that at all, but Manny, you're a ball player. If your manager went out there and went out to get ejected but did it in more of a polite, perfunctory way as opposed to really losing his mind genuinely, would you have a
problem
with that?
All right, do what you do. I have to go. That's fine. But you guys are doing a good job. You blew that pitch, but I don't want to play your game.
What do you think?
Did you see this?
I did. I love it. I mean, you have to get tossed when your superstar gets tossed. That's just part of it. Shield is a great dude. He understands that.
But you have to actually go crazy, like for real. Like, yeah, I've got to lose my mind.
You got to slam your hat. You got to slam your hat, kick some dirt on his feet. I mean, do all those things. But, I mean, you got to go. You got to get tossed. And you know what? Hell, if you get
it's almost the Father's Day. Go inside, have an early beer.
Yeah, and he did, and they said they had the chance to go in and chat it up. I said, if there's one player on the team that's not going to care how his manager gets ejected, it's probably Manny. And, you know, you like I said, you know him pretty well, and he's scuffling this year, and he's frustrated. I mean, he said the other day, it's rare I show my emotions, but I'm pissed, and I suck right now, and I got to figure it out, man. He's going through a tough stretch.
Yeah, I'm watching, and, you know, that's this is the veteran and him understanding that it's a long season and that, you know, this week is not going to dictate next week. He knows that it's a long, long season and, you know, his numbers are always going to be there. But again, it's frustrating for him because when you're one of the game's best and your numbers don't reflect it, it's a frustrating thing. And, he knows that. So, and he also knows that, you know, a good week, one good swing can turn his season around. Yeah. You know, I always tell him, when he hits that ball to right center field on the line, I don't think there's anybody better in the game than him. And you just got to get back to it. And he's a vet. He knows it. There's no need for me to tell him. You know, I still reach out to him and give him here tidbits that I see. But, you know, he's the one out there doing it. And he knows what it takes.
One thing I hated, though, that he said was, if I have to rip my elbow apart again, I'm going to get it figured out. I don't know that that's the right. It's not what I want to hear, you know, from Manny. I want to, you know, he's probably my favorite player, AJ, and I definitely don't want to exacerbate the problem. Do you feel like you know him and you probably know his pain tolerance and everything else? And he said the other day, I'm at 70%, I'm better than most guys that play third base. And I tend to agree, but I will say, you know, are you of the opinion that he may need to go, you know, go rest and try to heal up and clear his mind?
I mean, I don't know if that would be best for him because that's just not his style. He's a player, but you know, I don't know his pain threshold. I don't know how his elbow feels. I mean, anytime you have a surgery, you're still going to feel that effects lingering on for, you know, a certain amount of time post. And I know he's back playing, but, I mean, no matter what, you have surgery on your elbow and you got to throw a baseball and he throws it hard from different angles. So the torque on it definitely can't feel good. Swinging and missing when you have an injury like that cannot feel good. But at the same time, no one feels good playing baseball right now. Everybody is battling something. Somebody's hurting. Everybody is battling something. And that's just part of the game. So if you need to sit because you got a hangnail, that's not the era in which myself, Manny, and many others play. So we got through it, unfortunately. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't look pretty, but you know, when we're not playing and we know we can play, it's a weird feeling for us. So, you know, no matter what we're going through, we're going to post. The manager writes our name in the lineup, we're going to play. And, again, sometimes it doesn't look pretty, but, you know, guys want to play 150 games.
From Barcelona to Mumbai to Alabama, it's always fascinating to find out where in the world is Adam Jones. Adam, appreciate it as always. Thanks for making time for us on the Thursday. We'll talk to you again next week.
Always, and next week I'll be in a new place with probably with a mojito.
Oh, okay. Right. I can't wait to find out where in the world is Adam Jones. There he is, the 5-time All-Star. And guess what? Manny, when he says, you know, my numbers will be there at the end of the year, they won't this year.
They're not going.
It's too late.
Yeah.
He could turn it around. He could have a good second half, but the numbers are never going to get to Manny-like numbers this year. He's too deep in the hole. He's gotten off to too slow of a start for too long. The season's almost half over.
Yeah.
The halfway point will come for the Padres in just like 5 or 6 games. In fact, at the roundtable today, we're going to do a bit of a mid-season review because it's the closest roundtable to the 81-game mark of the year. So Manny doesn't have a chance to turn this year around. It's going to go down as one of the worst or maybe the worst season in Manny's career. But there's a big difference between that. If he has a good second half, it can just go down as maybe a slightly down year. If he has a bad second half, it'll go down as the worst year he's ever had in baseball. And that's an important differentiation for the San Diego Padres. They just want Manny to have what ends up being kind of a slightly down year and not a historically bad year for Manny Machado.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I don't think he's going to get to 30 pops this year. That would
be shocked.
That would require a monster a monster second half, but yeah, man, I'd gladly eat my words. We haven't really parsed out some of his comments, and you know, again, I think there's nothing he can say right now that's going to make people that.
I think his comments. I mean, we can go through them a little bit in the second half of the show.
Yeah,
I think his comments were what a lot of fans wanted to hear, to see some frustration, to see some. Actual, like,
I didn't see much of that. I saw more of.
I feel like fans get more frustrated that it looks like Manny isn't
care.
Frustrated.
No, I agree. I do. Like, I liked him. I like to see that because it's a rare glimpse inside when he talks like that. But I saw more. Look, nobody cares what you say. They want to see what you do. And especially in a results based business like baseball, they just want to see you perform on the field. And then if you're driving in runs and you're hitting home runs, no one cares if you blow a bubble. When you blow a bubble and you don't come through, then they get mad at you for blowing a bubble. No one cares what you do if you're producing. That's in any business almost, man. Like, as long as you're producing, they really don't care.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. So Paulie has some Throwback Thursday material that we can get to here coming up in the second half of the program. If you are interested, we'll also have Eno Saris in our weekly Smart Baseball segment coming up at 8:35 as we head toward our roundtable. We got our commercial-free roundtable at 10 o'clock this morning. A very long day for Ben and Woods.
You ran into a bigger boomer
yesterday
at the Ben and Woods Open than me.
Oh, my God.
Even I know how to work Venmo. This is unbelievable.
I did have one snafu on the Venmo at
incredible.
Ben's glory hole yesterday.
Incredible.
So share that as well. Coming up next, 2 hours down, 2+1 to go with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.